Romans chapter 8. Now, I preached on this years ago, a whole different message. I preached it 2014, August the 10th. A whole different message, but I'm going to zero in on something this morning on it. In Romans chapter 8, we'll just pick it up, verse 28. Everybody knows this verse. Romans 8:28, Bible says this, and we know. And we know there's a confidence we have. I preached about that a while back. Let me make sure I turn this on. And we know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say everything works together, but it said all things work together. It's cumulative. This little piece here may not work for good, but when God puts the pieces together, it's like a puzzle. This puzzle over here, this piece over here might not look like good, but when God gets through with it and everything works together for good, to them who are called according to His purpose, to those who love God, them who are called according to His purpose. And I want to preach a little bit about that this morning. And I want to take those last four words, according to His purpose. And that's where I want to be. Everything God has in the Bible, I've given you this many times, everything God has in the Bible has a condition. If you want to be saved, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. If you want to draw near to God, it said draw near to God, you got to make the first concept, and He'll draw near to you. Everything in the Bible has a condition with the Lord. And here's the condition for Romans 8:28. If you want to know Romans 8:28, if you want to glow Romans 8:28, and you want to grow Romans 8:28, I'm going to tell you there are four words there you got to know, and that's according to His purpose. And God has a condition. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God has a condition. And the condition, Romans 8:28, is according to His purpose. In Romans 8:28, we quote it, and we flippantly and casually quote it. It's kind of like a lot of things. We take it as milk and cotton candy and just kind of throw it out. But there's a lot of meat in this verse. And there's a profound a meat in this verse, and it's according to His purpose. And I want to give you a little bit about that. You know what? I want more than anything in my life, Brother Ben. I want to be in the purpose of God. I want to be in His purpose, not my purpose, not the Republican, not the Democrat, not America. I want to be in the purpose of God. I want to be in His plan more than anything. I want to serve Him more than anything. And that's my simple goal in life, to be according to His purpose. I like what Ronald Reagan said years ago. He said this in 1984. I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on His side? I mean, the real question is, am I according to His purpose? Am I in the plan of God? Am I in the purpose of God? If I am, then Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. And I just want to say, a lot of times, a lot of Christians, they're not in according to the purpose of God. And I'll be honest with you, I've been saved for 45 years, and I've wasted a lot of years, a lot of times in there, and there's been times I hadn't just been where I needed to be and all that kind of stuff. None of us have. And like Carl Lackey said, that old mountain man one time, he said, I hadn't done what I wanted to do for God, but he said, I got a lick or two in every once in a while. And I get a lick or two every once in a while. And I'm going to give you some things. These are simple things, but you need to hear them again. Peter said one time, I'm going to stir your mind up by way of remembrance. And I'm going to give you some purpose this morning according to His purpose. I want to say, first of all, according to His purpose, His purpose is in His Word. It's in His Word. You know, when people come to this church, and a lot of people have told me, Brother Honeycutt, I've had at least 10 people come to this church. They said, you're the first preacher that ever been around that keeps saying, read the Bible. I've had people that come to this church, been saved 4 or 5 years, Brother Honeycutt, and they tell me they have never read their Bible through one time. Never! I've had people that come to this church before, they've been saved years and years and years, and they finally, after me pushing them and pushing them, got in there to read the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be in the purpose of God until you get in His Word. That's how He's going to speak to you. There is no plan B, folks. And this is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning, because if you don't get in His Word, everything else I'm going to tell you this morning doesn't mean anything. You've got to spend time in the Word of God. You want more faith? It starts with the Word of God. So then faith cometh and hearing by the Word of God. It don't come off Fox TV. God forbid. It don't come watching the movie. The only way you're going to increase your faith is spending time in this book. In the Word of God. His purpose is here in this book. You want to live? You want to serve God? Luke chapter 4 verse 4, which is taken out of the New Bibles, by the way, the New Perversions. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let me ask you this, my friend. Are you spending much time in that Bible as you are feeding your faith? That's what He said. He said you ought to be living by this book, by my word, more than the time that you sit there eating physical food. Are you spending time in the Word of God? Do you want to be in the purpose of God? If you do this morning, I'm going to tell you, it's got to start according to His Word. There is no other condition. There is no other plan. You want to grow in God? It said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." A lot of Christians, they never grow. They never get close to God. You say, why? Because they never spend time in this book. And I'm not talking about, you know, reading a chapter of Proverbs every day. I mean, if that's the best you can do, that's pretty pitiful. I'm talking about spending some time in the Word of God. I told you when I started this church years ago, one of the first sermons I preached, I said, "Get you a card." And I gave everybody here a card. And I passed it out, a little note card. And I said, "I want you to take that card and I want you to write a time on that card. Say, God, I'm going to give you 30 minutes of the day. Whether it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8, I said, God, that's your time. Nobody else gets in this. I don't care what's on TV. I don't care who comes over. But God, that 30 minutes is time. I'll spend time in the Word of God. I'll spend time, God, talking and praying to you. If you haven't done that, you need to do. You need to find a time in your life, whatever it is, and say, God, I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God. Because if you don't, you're never going to be according to His purpose. Take your Bible, turn over to John 14. John 14. According to His purpose. You say, what's His purpose? His purpose is the Word of God. That's how you got saved, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. That's it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This book is a key. Do you love the Lord this morning? I say, do you love Him this morning? Anybody here love the Lord?
Amen.
We'll see. How many of you believe God cannot lie? Amen. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Numbers 23 over there. "God is not a man, neither the son of man, says you repent. Hath He not said it? Shall He not make it good?" Hebrews chapter 6:18 said it's impossible for God to lie. We could go on and on and on. What God said in this book, He means. Do you love Him this morning? Here's what He said if you do. He said, if you love Me, here's what you'll do. Look at John chapter 14. Now, I didn't write it. God said it. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words." You keeping His Word? How much of that Bible did you read this week? How much of that Bible did you read? How much time did you spend in front of the booth tube or on the internet or Facebook? How much time have you been in the faith book of God this week? Do you love Him? He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My words. You know what His Word is? It's according to His purpose. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them and they follow Me." Do you hear the voice? Do you hear His words? I want to say Romans 8:28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Do you love Him? He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My words. That's what He said right there. I want to say His purpose is His Word. I'll tell you something else about His purpose. Take your Bible, turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. According to His purpose. I'm talking about His purpose. I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm not talking about all that silly nonsense. That's just nonsense to me, that junk. I'm talking about the real thing here, brother. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about eternity. You want to be according to His purpose? I'll tell you what one of them is. Look at John chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Here's what the Lord said. And the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Watch it. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know what one of His purposes is? It's in the Word of God. I tell you another, according to His purpose, is worship. That Bible said, God seeketh those that'll worship Him. Take your Bible, flip over to Psalms 29, turn to the book of Psalms. All throughout this Bible, you know what God says? Worship, worship, worship. Psalms chapter 29. Verse number 2 says this, Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Look at Psalm 95. I can give you many of them, just a couple. Psalm 95:6. Honor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty in His sanctuary. I'm quoting the wrong one. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Psalm 95:6, let us kneel before the God, our Maker. Psalm 96:9, oh, worship the Lord, the beauty of holiness. Psalm 99:5, exalt the Lord our God, worship Him. It's over and over and over and over and over and over and over. The Bible commands us to worship. I want to tell you His purpose this morning is worship. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for those that will worship Him. Take your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You want to be in the purpose of God? It's in His Word. You know where it's at? It's in worship. It said the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Look at Matthew chapter 8 verse 1 says this. Matthew 8:1. And when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed, and behold, there came a leper, watch it, and worshiped Him. And saying, Lord, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth His hand and said, I will be thy. You want to get God's attention? You want to get His favor in your life? I'm going to tell you how to do it, brethren. You got to start worshiping Him. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Here it is again, all throughout here. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18 says this. Matthew 9:18. While He spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped Him. Saying, my daughter is even now dead. Come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed Him. And so did the disciples. You know what happened? And He goes in there and raises that girl up from the dead. I want you to know something, brother. You want to get God's attention. You want to get His favor. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Worship Him. Worship Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Flip over to Matthew chapter 10. And then we'll go to Matthew chapter 10. Then we'll go to 15, Matthew chapter 10. Look what He told them, Matthew chapter 10, when He sends these 12 out, when He sends His boys out, His disciples over there, Matthew 10:5, He told them this. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. During that time, you know your Bible, dispensationally, Jesus Christ is only dealing with the house of Israel at that time. And He said, don't go in the way of Samaritans, don't go in the Canaanite. You just stay in the house of Israel, stay with those folks. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Look at this. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about worship. God is looking for those according to His purpose, and His purpose is to worship Him. That's what He's looking for. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Here's a Canaanite lady. This is one of them. Jesus said, don't go to them. Look what happens. Matthew chapter 15 verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And He answered not a word. Didn't even pay attention to her. Say, why? She wasn't the right one. Wrong dispensation, lady. Wait a little bit. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I'm not sent, but in thy lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, lady, I'm not ready for that. You're in the wrong dispensation. Just wait a little bit. And the Bible says this, then came she and what? Worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. And He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs and the crumbs fall upon the master's table. And Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it in thee as I will. You know what happened, brother? When that woman worshipped Him, Jesus Christ said, ho, ho, stop the press. Come out. Hey, imagination a little bit and reach out and take that lady, that Canaanite lady, because she worshiped him. Listen, if you want to find favor with God, start worshiping him. Start worshiping. And let me just say this morning, if not in his church, people got the idea this is all there is. I tell you all the time, most important time of your life is when you go out that door. Not in here. You notice something, every one of those examples I've given you, they're worshiping him. And I could give you many more through the New Testament. Every one of them, not a one of them, is in a church building. Not a one of them. You say, where were they at, preacher? They're out there in the marketplace. They're out there on the street. They're at Walmart. They're at Publix. They're at the doctor's office. They're wherever. Listen, I had at least 15 worship services this week. At least. You say, where? I had a few at Camp Cosby. I had a few out there yesterday, boy. I had a good time. I had a couple at Walmart this week. I had a couple at Piggly Wiggly. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I'm giving up smoking. Somebody give them a tread and tell them about Jesus Christ. And brother, we start worshiping God right there. And boy, you can see smiles. You see, you ought to be able to worship God wherever you go. This ought to be one of the last places, by the way. Because we come in church. I don't walk around with a tie. You guys don't sit here like it. I bet Brother Honeycutt don't walk around his house with a coat and tie on. I bet he don't go to Walmart like it. I bet you $5 he don't. You know what we do a lot of times in church? It's kind of, we get kind of in a habit and a ritualistic kind of thing, and we know how to do it, and we know how to say amen, and we know how to shake the hands, and we know how to smile. But brother, when we get out there, it's where we ought to worship God. That ought to be the real deal. According to His purpose. You say, what is that? Worship. God wants you to worship Him. I had a good time here a couple of weeks ago. I went to Iron City Ford over here to get my oil changed. And I went over there and they had a waiting room, people in there that I decided to sit outside in the breeze and read my Bible. I was out there reading my Bible, giving out tracts, people would come by. And man, it was awesome, man. I mean, I was out there in the breeze. And I had this old big old black boy. He worked there. He was about 6'5". He was a big old guy. And he saw me reading the Bible. And he come over there and said, hey, I see you reading a good book. I said, yes, sir. I said, you saved? He said, yes, sir. And he started jumping up and down, man. You know how them black folk do. He said, glory to God. He said, I'm washing the blood. He said, glory to God. I'm a youth pastor in my church. He said, glory to God. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. See what you have. I had a worship service. I sitting there too there. And I had on one of my buttons, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. And the manager there that run the thing, a white fella, he come by and said, man, I love that button you got. And I took it off and I threw it in. I said, here you go, put it on. And he popped that thing on, and boy, he started walking around worshiping God. He like a peacock with that button. Just like that. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about according to his purpose, worshiping. Wherever you go, we went to Medical Center East. My wife had a lot of tests there. We got to worship God. There's a lady we checked in. Big old black lady. I like them black folk because they know God, see. They get excited. The last time we were there, we gave her a tract. And we got there and my wife said, I'm going to give you another. She said, give me another because somebody stole that last thing you gave me. She is upset. I said, well, I guess they needed it. I mean, God is good. And a little doctor came in there a little bit later and had a button on his head. What think ye of Christ? And there's a Sarah's doctor and she came in there and she checking on us and she said, I love that button you got on. She said, because I love Jesus. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this button and let you put it on and you wear it around here. And boy, she put that thing on. She started walking around like this. I want to tell you, brother, what are you talking about? I'm talking about worshiping Him. Wherever you go, according to His purpose. His purpose is in His Word. His purpose is worship. I'll tell you something else. One of His purposes. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll go to the book of Acts. John chapter 1. And then we'll go to the book of Acts. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about according to His purpose. See, that's where I want to be. I want to be right where God wants me to be, His purpose.
I tell you, I love his serving God, Brother Honeycutt. I love his passing out tracts, talking to people about God. Nothing in the world like it. I'll give you according to his purpose. Father, seeketh such to worship him. Look at John chapter 1. Here's another one. John chapter 1. Get John 1. Go ahead and get Acts 1 real quick. John chapter 1. Here's old John the Baptist. John the Baptist. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Means beloved. John was filled from the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He had a supernatural birth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, of all men born of women, John the Baptist was the greatest. And he was a man sent from God. And here's why he was sent. Verse 7, the same came for a witness. You want to be in his purpose? I'll tell you what his purpose is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. And the reason God left you on this earth, and the reason he didn't take you home when you got saved, is for you to be a witness of what he's done. And you've been saved. That ought to be the easiest thing in the world, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 4, man, they beat those boys. They all died a martyr's death. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Here's a birth of the New Testament church. Here's the Holy Ghost coming down. In Acts chapter 1. That's where you and I are, right here. We're part of this bunch. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says this. Acts 1 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you're saved this morning, the Holy Ghost is in you. The Bible said, if any man have the Spirit, have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. It said, know ye not, your body is a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If you've been saved, when you got saved, and I preach that to you, the Holy Ghost of God came in you, and you got the same thing those boys got right there. Same deal. Look what it said. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is coming to you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You know when God saved you, you know what you're supposed to be? You're supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's a shame, but I've heard it quoted, and I'm sure it's true, that 95% of Christians, so-called Christians, have never led one soul to Jesus Christ. You ought to be a witness everywhere you go. They ought to know a Christian walked in that place. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. They'd take these old boys, they'd beat them. I tell you, a few months back, Brother Honeycutt, I got a great blessing. I preach on the streets a lot, different things. And I got this little area, I preach on the street out there in Clay. And I was one Saturday morning, I came out there, and I looked out there, and there's about 20 people out on my street corner. I know what was going on. I saw them all over the place. And you know what it was? It was about 20 Spanish-speaking people out there preaching. And they had big signs of them in English and Spanish. And boy, I'm telling you, they were getting it on out there. And none of them knew English except one lady over there. I found one of them that knew English. And I got talking to her a little bit, and she told me they went to this church not far from the house. I was telling the church about it. And one Wednesday night, I decided I'm going to go out to that church and see it. And I didn't. Everything in that thing was Spanish. The only people that knew any English was the pastor and his daughter. That was it. Everybody in that thing was packed before I got there. And before they ever started, they had probably 20 ladies out there on the altar praying before they ever got started. And that old preacher got up and preached in Spanish, and I didn't understand a word he said, Brother Honeycutt. But brother, he was a witness for God. I could just feel the Spirit of God through that place, man. His purpose is a witness. Look at Acts chapter 4 over here. Acts chapter 4 verse 17. And it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and they speak henceforth to no more in his name. And they called him and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you unto more than unto God, judge ye. He said this, for we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. You know what that is? That's a witness. That's somebody that saw something so amazing, so spectacular, they said, you can beat us, you can kill us, but you're not going to shut us up. Next verse. When they had further threatened them, they let them go. Turn to Acts chapter 5 over there. You see it again. Acts 5:27. When they brought them, they set them before the council, the high priest, saying, did we not surely command you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled your reason with your doctrine. Come down to verse 20:32. And they said, and we are witnesses of these things. We're a witness. Brother, they couldn't shut them up. You say, what is that? That's according to His purpose. To be a witness for Jesus Christ. Man, that ought to be the easiest thing in the world. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I could give you many verses. Acts 26. So what he's trying to say, preacher, I'm trying to tell you, you want to be in His purpose. It's in His Word. You got to put that nose in that book. I tell you where it's at. It's in worship, not in this church. Now, when you go out that door, when you go wherever you go today, I like what Miss Liz and them did one time when they went to Taco Bell and they asked them for the name of the order, and they said the name's Praise the Lord. And then they called out the order and said, Praise the Lord! Order 22 is ready. It's a good thing, amen? Worship Him at Taco Bell. They need it. They need it. His purpose is words. His purpose is a witness. Look at Acts chapter 26. Here's Apostle Paul. Remember Apostle Paul is Saul of Tarsus. Over in Acts chapter 9, he's going on the road to Damascus with letters to take those that believe in Jesus Christ and persecute them. And he was there when Stephen was stoned. He held the clothes while they stoned Stephen over there in Acts chapter 7. You know all that. And God calls him out. Saves him there. Look at Acts chapter 26, 14. Verse 14. Paul's giving his testimony. And we were all falling to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. Watch this, for this purpose. Here's the purpose. God saved him. Here's what God wanted to do to make thee a minister and a witness. You know why God met you on the road to Damascus and saved your old wicked, wretched soul so that you could be a witness for Him? Look at verse 22. And having therefore obtained help of God, I continue in this city into this day, witnessing both to the small and great. Say, what is God's purpose? What is God's purpose? His purpose for you is to be a witness. Tell somebody about God wherever you go. Whether you're at public, whether you're at the doctor's office, wherever you might be, it's amazing the difference you can make just speaking up, for, especially nowadays. I've never had as good a response witnessing nowadays as I've had in 45 years I've been saved. You say, why? People are looking for something, man. They're confused. They're hurting. And we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, what's His purpose, preacher? It's in the Word of God. What's His purpose? It's to worship Him. You say, what's His purpose, preacher? It's to witness for Him. I'm going to give you one more. I got several, but I'm going to give you one more. Take your Bible. Turn to Psalms 144. And then go over to 1 Peter 2. Give you some verses. I could give you many of them. I'll tell you another purpose of God. You know what His purpose is? It's war. It's war. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 said this, the Lord is a man of war. Psalms 144 says this. Psalms 144, verse 1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Look over 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll just quote them for you. Just save time. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're in a war, folks. It's a war. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul writes, discharge, I commend unto thee my son Timothy according to the prophecies which were written before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. We ought to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore
Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. You say, what are you trying to say? His purpose. Brother, it's a war. That song we sing, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. You when Paul got through his life over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, the time of my departure is at hand. You know what the first thing he said, Brother Ben? First thing he said, I fought a good fight. Leonard Ravenhill writes in his book on Rivals Terry, I'll never forget. He said, boy, when Paul said, I fought a good fight, he said, every devil in hell said, amen, amen, amen. What about you? Are you fighting a good fight? The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Too many of God's people are laying down on the job. You know what God's purpose is? It's a war. You know where we get in trouble? I'll tell you where we get in trouble in this life. When we get out of the battle, we lay around too much. That's what happened to David over there in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was a king. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. I preached about this. And it came to pass after the year was expired, and at the time when kings go forth to battle, kings go forth to battle. David was the king. David didn't go to battle. And the Bible says this, that David sent Joab and his servants with him. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You know what happened? The next verse. And it came to pass at eventide, way in the even, David arose from off his bed. He laid in bed all day and all night. It is in the evening. You know where David was supposed to have been, Brother Honeycutt? He was supposed to be in the battle. You know where God's people get in trouble? I'll tell you where they get in trouble. You know where Bathsheba's at? When they get out of the battle. The Bible said, and it came to pass at eventide, David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He told him, guys, he said, go get her, raped her. That wasn't bad enough. He killed her husband. You say, why? Because he wasn't in the battle. If David would have been where he was supposed to have been in that battle that day, four of his boys probably wouldn't have died. God took four of his boys and killed them because of that. So what are you trying to say? You want to be in His purpose. It's in His Word. I'll tell you where it's at. It's in worship. When you walk out this door, I got a sign that says you're about to enter the mission field, both those big doors. Most important part of your Christian life, not here. This is just playtime, really. This is where you kind of come in here and put on your ritual and put on your church face and you look like you're spiritual and all that stuff. Out there is really where you live it, see. At Taco Bell, Burger King, restaurants, doctor's office, Walmart, public. That's where it's at, see. That's where you worship. That's where you witness. That's where you do something for God. That's where you war out there. You want to be according to His purpose. His purpose. His purpose is a war. Brother Roloff used to sing a song. I love his song. Had a lot of truth to it. Now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, God, give me a man to fight. That's Goliath. And the Israelites said, I've got a great big heart, but my feet are full of fright. Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks. He had to trust and pray. He said, run if you want to, and run if you will, but I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, it's not a game. So run if you want to, and run if you will, but I came here to stay. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for that soldier, brother, that Christian that's got that war and knows this battle. Now the boys wouldn't burn, and the boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad. He said, turn that furnace on high. Tie them up and throw them in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry. But a little while later, he looked in the furnace, and he heard Brother Shadrach say, hey boys, just pull up a chair and warm your hands, because I didn't start out to play. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. The decree had been signed by the hand of the king. David couldn't pray to his Lord. The hungry lions were pacing him in. Here comes supper again. But if you'd been standing anywhere near, you'd heard Brother Daniel say, if you're talking about me, just forget it, boys, because I came here to stay. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right back up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. And it's not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. You see, what's God looking for, preacher? According to His purpose, He's looking for that man of war. He's looking for that Daniel. He's looking for that Shadrach. He's looking for that Paul. He's looking for that Tommy Tillman. He's looking for those soldiers, brethren. This thing's not a campfire deal. This is a real deal. This is a real war going on. For we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, or them are the call according to His purpose. I ask you to bow your heads this morning. I ask my wife just to come play some this morning. Now, if God spoke to you,